Hi, folks. Bill Resnick for the Old Mole doing a well-read read, reading and commenting on gun violence. It's a piece is titled, Can the United States Curb the Epidemic of Gun Violence? By Cesar Chalala. Chalala is a global health consultant, a contributing editor for The Globalist, a journal out of New York committed to rethinking globalization. He's written learned reports for medical journals and the UN and hundreds of articles in newspapers and magazines. This article comes from Counterpunch, and this is Cesar Chalala. An epidemic is hitting the U.S. and ordinary citizens are unable to stop it. The reason is simple. The laws protect the killers. And those responsible for making the laws have abdicated their responsibility. The Gun Violence Archive reports that mass shootings have increased from 269 in 2014 to 693 in 2021. They do so even when the victims could be their children or grandchildren, engulfed in a wave of violence and death that is increasingly targeting schools. Lawmakers, mostly Republicans, systematically refuse to enact legislation that will effectively control arms sales. This is frustrating to most Americans who support stricter gun controls. In the meantime, kids go to school in constant fear that will be the next victims of a mass shooting spree. According to Education Week, which has been tracking school shootings since 2018, there have been 27 school shootings from the beginning of this year until May 25th. A comparison with Japan is relevant. About 40,000 Americans die each year of gun homicides, suicides, accidental shootings. In contrast, in Japan, a country of 127 million people, authorities report approximately 10 gun deaths a year. One reason is Japan has more effective gun control laws. While buying guns in the U.S. is as easy as buying chewing gum, in Japan, applicants must pass a long list of tests. They comprise a background check that includes interviews with friends and family and a thorough mental health evaluation, which takes place at a hospital. Again, I'm reading from a piece, Can the U.S. Curb the Epidemic of Gun Violence? By Cesar Chalala in Counterpunch magazine. I'll go on. In addition, while guns don't play a role in Japan's civil society, gun ownership and accompanying violence has become ingrained in the U.S. mental outlook. Proud of his popularity, Donald Trump, the former TV personality, the former U.S. president, declared in Iowa during his presidential campaign, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue, shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose voters. He said this as he continuously advocates for less control on the sale of guns and for arming teachers as a way to curb school violence. Such a proposal would only institutionalize violence. One cannot disregard the role of gender on the issue of gun violence in the U.S., since practically all mass shootings are carried out by males. They should be urgently addressed, particularly by teachers in the schools. They should put renewed emphasis on the value of compassion, kindness, and solidarity in interpersonal relations. The young men who commit these acts of violence are suffering, sometimes from trauma, including childhood neglect, which can manifest as depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and attempts. Social isolation, despite a desire to belong to a community of peers or others, and a feeling of powerlessness. Like suicide bombers, they have nothing to lose in those violent acts which are meant to be witnessed. In addition to being motivated by racism and hate, can be understood as manifestations of self-hate and a desire to appropriate power. Most young shooters have been the victims of ACE, adverse childhood experiences. These are the result of situational issues, the main ones being parental abuse, violent community life, problems at school, poverty. While these issues may surface at schools, there are severe limitations on what school personnel can do. Parental consent is always needed for interventions. Self-referral is unusual and unlikely in cases with family problems. Many schools do not have psychological or social work services at all. Local authorities often feel powerless at the lack of federal guidance to curb the universal accessibility of guns. Americans bought almost 20 million guns in 2021, the second busiest year on record. The Small Arms Survey of 2017 estimated there were more guns than people in the U.S. in round figures, 393 million firearms in a country of 326,474,000 inhabitants. Since not every person in the U.S. owns a gun, it means that many people own more than one. President Biden has proposed several common sense measures, including a ban on assault weapons, expansion of background checks, obligatory safe storage of weapons, a red flag law, and a repeal of the liability clause that shelters gun manufacturers from being sued. These are important measures. They should be complemented, however, by enacting federal legislation aimed at stricter enforcement of gun registration, effective control of the manufacture, sale, and import of firearms, and harsher penalties for violating these rules. In addition, severe penalties should be imposed on parents and other adults whose children have access to firearms owned legally and registered, or who give them as presents to their children. Don Emmanuel Orlando Garcia, New York psychiatrist, says about these legislators who are willing to pass any meaningful gun control legislation, by defending freedom and life, they get elected, noble aims, but for them, the life of an embryo counts more than the life of a child, and the unrestricted freedom to buy weapons counts more than the freedom to be safe in a park or school. Same people who value the life of a mother less than that of a fertilized egg, the same that legalize state killings and blame the victims of inequality and homelessness, justify with their jargon the ongoing massacre of gun violence infecting the country, including increasing numbers of school children. They claim guns do not kill, omitting to say that any person with a gun could become a killer when affected by intense emotions. No need to suffer a mental illness. Again, I'm reading from the op-ed, Can the U.S. Curb the Epidemic of Gun Violence, on the Counterpunch website by Cesar Shalala. Gun violence is also an economic problem, but since lack of employment opportunities increases the risk of gun violence, as Reverend Gregory Boyle, who works on this issue in East Los Angeles, has said, nothing stops a bullet like a job. One summer Chicago Plus, a jobs program designed to prepare youth from some of the city's most violent neighborhoods, saw a 43% drop in violent crime arrests among its participants. Japan has almost no deaths due to gun violence. Why cannot the U.S., the most powerful country in the world, do the same? Although recent measures to control gun ownership are useful, what is truly needed is an effective ban on all guns and education efforts to change a culture of violence in the country. We need to move from a culture of violence to a culture of peace. Continuous failure to act will lead to spiraling of violence of unforeseen but certainly nefarious consequences for people's lives and for our future as a civilized nation. By claiming that they are pro-life, lawmakers who are unwilling to control gun violence are in effect pro-death. That was Cesar Shalala from the Counterpunch website. I'd like to make a comment. Shalala is clearly correct to conclude, although recent measures to control gun ownership are useful, what is truly needed is an effective ban on all guns and education efforts to change a culture of violence in this country. We need to move from a culture of violence to a culture of peace. Well, yes, to be sure, but education goes only so far when it collides with the dominant culture. In this society, it creates lots of mental problems, lots of people in the gray economy where gangs compete for turf, lots of anger, lots of violence. And given the prevalence of guns, we get a lot of murder by gun and suicide by gun. And much of the depression, despair, and anger that generates the violence is people's experiences, the social practices, and the values that legitimate the practices, like experiencing corporal punishment or domestic violence, or learning violence as a mark of masculinity, or being in the lower registers of the U.S. steep pecking order. And we live in a society that does not care for one another and accepts so much homelessness that desensitizes people. And we lack work, and especially dignified work at decent incomes, that weighs on people. And compared to need, we have very little mental health care of any kind. Anyway, we are going to live with a lot of gun violence, unfortunately. But, of course, there are other societies with a lot of trouble, deeply troubled people, and still have low levels of gun violence. Why is that? Because they carefully control guns. The NRA is right. It's troubled people who kill people, but that they would not kill near as many if it were not so easy to get a gun, especially an automatic rifle. This was Bill Resnick for the Old Mole. I read from an op-ed by Cesar Shalala and the U.S. Epidemic of Gun Violence in the Counterpunch website.